that particular Lord's Day that we were reading about in Luke's Gospel chapter 24 had been a traumatic day. It had been a traumatic weekend, actually, for all the disciples and the followers of Jesus, watching the crucifixion, seeing what happened and how that he had been laid in a tomb, and then, of course, the various reports that he was now alive again, though there were some who had not seen him after that moment of resurrection. But it is the evening of that first Lord's Day, and as two men are making their way to the town of Emmaus, their minds are filled with events over the weekend and all that had been going on. And as they're sharing and talking about these matters, and their emotions are still playing on their hearts from the triumphal entry into Jerusalem until their leader's terrible death on a Roman cross. Now the moments for reflection had arrived. What would the future hold for them? They had thrown in their lot with this man of Galilee, but now it seemed like everything had just gone up in the air, and there was no future. But as they were walking and they were talking and they were questioning, a stranger drew near and began to walk alongside them. And the living Lord, although they didn't know that that was the person, the living Lord Jesus Christ was really present with them. He drew near. In chapter 15, or chapter 24, rather, in verse 15, it said, "It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them." And it's wonderful to know that even today, in now 2020, so long after that first Easter day, that we can still bank on the promise, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name," says the Lord Jesus Christ, "there am I in the midst." Those words still hold good. They are found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18 and verse 20. But having said that, he was the unrecognized presence. So many people fail to recognize the presence of the Master in the midst. They are insensitive to who he is or what his presence feels like. And I know that there are many today listening in to our program, and those of you who will, but you're very aware of the presence of the Lord. That's because you know him. That's because you have come into a living relationship with him. And like that very first song that we had on our program today, "He lives, he lives." You ask me how I know he lives, and the answer is, he lives within my heart. The Lord Jesus Christ, who was alive and walking with them, though unknown and unrecognized by them, is one whom you recognize. You know him today and you know his presence. But it may be that there's someone who is listening to me today, and whilst you're in the presence of hearing the Word of God, you don't know the precious presence of the God of the Word. It was a rumor to them that he was risen, but it was a reality in fact. And it may be that even today, as you listen to the voices of people like myself, that you're hearing this, but it's just like a rumor. It's just like an historic thing, but it doesn't have any current, present, powerful realization in your heart. It's not a reality to you. Well, I'm praying and trusting that this Easter season will not pass. And even though we have now moved on 1 week from Easter Day, I pray that the days will not continue on with you living unaware of the presence of Jesus Christ, but that you will come to know him and have him as a living personal reality within your heart and in your life. Now, my question, first of all, is how did he find them in heart? Well, he found them spiritually blind. It said their eyes were holden. They couldn't really see. They didn't just perceive who he was. And that's very much like we are. Many of us today can look back to a time when our eyes were closed to the glorious realization of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like a young lady who was converted in one of our evangelistic campaigns some years ago. And she was gloriously converted at midnight in her own home. That evening, she called her mother around midnight, and they had the joy of leading the daughter to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now she had been at the mission a number of evenings just prior to that evening. And the next evening when she came to the mission, after the service was over, the evangelistic campaign, she said to her mother, she said, "Did I sit in meetings like that before tonight?" She said, "You did." And this was a well-educated young lady in her late teens. You know, we can sit in the best of meetings and hear the best of preaching and yet not be aware of the Lord and not be aware of who is really speaking. But praise God, when He comes and speaks, then everything is different. But their eyes were darkened. They were spiritually blinded. Their perceptions were very dimmed. He found them emotionally sad. And that's how it is whenever we don't have the presence of Jesus Christ within our hearts. We may feel that we have got happiness, but joy is something that only comes when the Savior comes into our hearts and into our lives. They were sad. Yes, well, rightfully so. They had been through a dreadful experience, and their hopes were dreadfully dashed. He found them mentally confused. Confusion was in their thoughts. We thought that this would have been the one who would have delivered Israel. We have come to know that the person whom we trusted would have set us free from Roman dominion and authority. Well, we have come to realize that he's gone. But my friends, he was very much alive. He was alive, but they were blind. He was alive, but they were sorrowful. He was alive, but they were confused. I hope that none of those things apply to you this afternoon or today, and that you this day can say, "Well, once I was blind, now I see. Once I was darkened, but now my understanding has been enlightened. Once I was confused, but now everything has been straightened out by him." I wonder, are you like Cleopas and his friend as they were traveling on the road to Emmaus outside the city of Jerusalem? Why were they traveling that road anyway? Well, I imagine that they maybe had been on their way to see if they could meet with the Savior, because he had said that he would meet Peter in Galilee. And maybe Peter was on his way to Galilee to see if he could encounter this Savior, whom, of course, he had denied. That's just speculation, perhaps, on my part. But the important thing was that he drew near and he went with them. What did he do with them? That's my second question. Well, he opened the scriptures to them. That's what it says in verse 27. He opened the scriptures, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What a glorious message that must have been. How he had taken them on a journey from the book of Genesis, even that glorious promise, chapter 3 and verse 15, where the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. And of course, that's a reference to Jesus Christ and his triumph at the cross. He would have spoken to them, of course, from the brazen serpent message, when Moses lifted up the brazen serpent in the wilderness, and everyone who looked to it, stricken with the poison that had been inflicted upon them by those poisonous, venomous serpents. Well, what a glorious deliverance those people had had. They were healed instantly. He would have shared with them, of course, from the prophecy of Isaiah, so much there to tell them about his birth, about his life, about his crucifixion from chapter 53 as we know it, and so on. I could tell you so much more, but he opened to them the scriptures. You know, this preaching of the word that opens the understanding of people. And the Bible says that the scriptures speak of Jesus Christ. Wherever you open them, he is the central figure. He is the one of whom they speak. And whenever we appropriate the message of the Word of God, we embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, the subject of the message of the book. Well, he opened their eyes. Oh yes, in verse 31 it said, and their eyes were opened. Praise God for the day whenever the grace of God opens the eyes of the blind and they see. And you know, It's like the man in the Gospels. He said, "One thing I know. Once I was blind, now I see." And I'm so glad today that I can say that too. But it's the preaching of the word that opens the understanding, that opens the eyes of people. And then it said their hearts were opened as well. They put it in somewhat different language. In verse 32, they say, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Have you ever felt that burning heart? It was whenever the preface to the gospel or the epistle to the Romans was being read in an evening service that John Wesley said, "My heart, I felt my heart. Yes, I felt my heart strangely warmed." And it was in that wonderful evening, the 24th of May, 1738, that the joy and personal presence of Jesus Christ became a reality to a religious vicar called John Wesley. His heart was strangely warmed. Oh, my dear friends, the scriptures warm the heart. And then it tells us as well, as he opened the scriptures, opened their eyes and opened their heart, that they were so wonderfully refreshed. Remember this, they had walked 7.5 miles to Emmaus. It was the evening time. They were going to settle down there for the evening. But when they settled down to have something to eat, oh, they recognized this visitor, this stranger, and he vanished out of their sight. Immediately, the place where he had been was now vacant. And they knew that it was Jesus. They knew that they had been with the Lord. What did they do? Go to bed? Settle down? Not at all. They set out back to Jerusalem. I'm sure that the others were surprised to see them. It would take a little while to walk or to run even that distance. And they got there, and when they arrived back and met up with the others, they were able to recount their experience and say, "Yes, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." That's why I feel that Simon was the person who was traveling with Cleopas, because there's no record of Jesus meeting Simon any time during that day, even from the early morning. So it seems very, very probable that this was Simon, and now he had seen for himself that Jesus Christ was really alive. Have you seen for yourself? Have you come to realize yourself that Jesus is alive? They were excited with a new joy. It tells us in verse 33 that they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. And they were so excited. Not only were they excited so much that they ran back to the city, but they were now people with a new message, a message of personal experience. That's what gives me such energy and such vitality and such excitement, because I'm speaking of someone that I know. I'm speaking of someone who is real to me. Is he real to you today? We heard about A.B. Simpson. The realization and the reality of Jesus Christ, a living Savior who wanted to change his life, and then the experience of full salvation that made E.B. Simpson the man that we know him to be, who gave us so many wonderful songs and hymns, who has given to us many great books, and I've got 2 volumes set, a masterpiece of ministry on the work and person of the Spirit, all the way from Genesis to the book of the Revelation, and so many other great books by A.B. Simpson that are in my library. Oh, my dear friends, today, this is no secret message. This is a message for the whole wide world to hear and to tell. And these men began to share it. But I've got so much more to share with you as the days proceeded and unfolded for these and others like them. Oh, what a glorious pageant of victory and triumph all the way through.